The first shiur today is obviously going to be aimed at differentiating between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos. In other words, seeing what Sefer Bereishis represented and how we move on to Sefer Shmos, what's represented in Sefer Shmos. So, let's begin the Parsha with a few questions, with a few Ha'oros in Parsha Shmos, and then we'll move on to the Yesodos between the two Sfarim of Sefer Bereishis and Shmos. First of all, we have to understand, as a Hakdama, why is Sefer Shmos called Shmos? Because the Pasuk begins, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Abor Mitzrayma, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Hodo, etc. Why is the names, Shmos, meaning names, why is this the most important integral part of Sefer Shmos? What the names were. And Bichlal, one has to understand why we are listing their names again. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, all 12 Shvatim. We've known all about them already from Sefer Bereishis. Why mention them all over again? Rashi, the first Rashi says, Ve'ele Shmois b'nei Yisrael, says Rashi, Avol bishamonim b'chayeyem b'shmoison, even though we mention them in their lives. They're mentioned again over here just to show how much Hashem loves them, that they're compared to stars, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzion, Machnison, B'mispar. Every star has its number, or B'shmoisim has its name. Shneema, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Amoitzi, B'mispar, Tzvom, Kulam, Shem Yikra. So Klal Yisrael, or the Shvatim HaKolpanim, are compared to stars. Why are they compared to stars? What's the significance of comparing them to stars? Now we know that stars, the glory, the shine of the stars comes out at night. Therefore there must be a special message, a special significance of comparing, mentioning the names of the Shvatim and comparing them to stars, Dafka at night. And one doesn't have to look too far to understand this. Klal Yisrael over here in Mitzrayim are entering a period of night. Sefer Shmos begins with Golos Mitzrayim, which is Doime Golos is Doime Lalaila. So therefore, just as the stars shine at night, so there's a Bechina of the Shvatim, even though they're not really alive anymore, but nevertheless, what they represent shines at night, shines in the Golos, which we begin Sefer Shmos with. But what's the Oimek Inyan, what's the significance of all this? And Bechlal, why does Sefer Shmos begin with the Golos of Mitzrayim? A few parashas, what's the significance of the Shmos, the Sefer Shmos names beginning with Golos Mitzrayim? And then later in this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is born. Vayelech ish mi Beis Levi, vayikach is Bas Levi. Anonymous. A man from Beis Levi marries a woman from Bas Levi. Why aren't their names mentioned? And Bechlal, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's name, the name that stuck with him, wasn't even a name that was given to him by any Jew. It was a name that was given to him by Bas Parah. So just like Moshe's parents, as far as we're concerned, are nameless, so too basically Moshe Rabbeinu was given a name by the Bas Parah, and that's the name that stuck with him. What's this in you? Why should we give a name to the Rabban Shal Yisrael, to the greatest person, greatest Jew? Why should the name that the Bas Parah gave him, why should that stick to him? Why did she give him that name? Because Kimina Mayim Ishisihu, he was taken out of the water. So what? That seems like a prat. He was taken out of the water. How does this show in the whole character of Moshe Rabbeinu that the name of being carried out of the water was the name that sticked and remained with him? Oh. But let's go straight to the Yesod. The Yesod is the significant difference between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos is the following. Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer of the Avos. Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of the Bonim. Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer which is Be'ikar discussed in Eretz Yisrael. The lives of the Avos were Be'ikar in Eretz Yisrael. And Sefer Shmos is in Chutz La'aretz, beginning with Golos Mitzrayim. So Bereishis is the Avos in Eretz Yisrael, and Shmos are the Bonim in Chutz La'aretz in Golos. What's the significance of this? Seems like that the Avos have a special kesher to Eretz Yisrael, and the Bechina of Bonim have a special kesher to Chutz La'aretz, to Golos. Why is that? What's the intrinsic connection between the Avos and Eretz Yisrael and the Bonim and Golos and Chutz La'aretz? In order to understand this, we have to see the difference between Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael in relation to Kelal Yisrael. In other words, when we understand what Eretz Yisrael represents and what Chutz Laretz Golus represents, that will enlighten us to understand the chiluk between the Avos who are in Eretz Yisrael and the Banim that are in Golus in Sefer Shmos. Eretz Yisrael, we know, is a makom of his achdus, a makom of his skullus, a makom where Klal Yisrael are together, as we discussed in Parshas Vayigash and the Pesukim in Tehillim, that Yerushalayim is Ke'ish Chubra Lo Yachtov. Eretz Yisrael is a makom of achdus. When there's achdus, we're in Eretz Yisrael. When there's Sinas Chinom, we were sent into Golus. So we know the difference between, that's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Eretz Yisrael is achdus, and Chutz Laretz is a makom of pizur, where we're scattered. There's a hispashtus, we're spread out and scattered. That's the chiluk between Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz in relation to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, that leads us into understanding a very foundational chiluk between Klal Yisrael with the Avos and Klal Yisrael without the Avos. Just like Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael are all the Hisachtos together, and in Chutz Laretz they're scattered, so too Klal Yisrael with the Avos are the Hisachtos together. Whenever we discuss the Avos, then the Bonim are sort of tofel in the Avos. And when we look at Klal Yisrael as Bonim without the Avos, then it's like the Bechin of Chutz Laretz, which is Pizur scattered Hispashtos. Let me explain to you, again, this is all discussing, still very Yisoidistic, we haven't really explained what we mean yet. But what is the Yisoid HaInyan of it? The Yisoid HaInyan is the following. When we talk about Avos and Bonim, so we know that all the Bonim originates from what's called the Zerah HaAv, that we say in Kol Mekadosh Shvi, we are Zerah Avraham HaYavoy. Take a seed of a fruit that you plant into the ground. The seed of the fruit is planted into the ground, a tree is to grow from it. A tree is made up of very different colors and different qualities. Leaves that are green, branches that are brown, apples that are red. But nevertheless, it's when it's in the seed, it's still all in its potential. Nothing has come out, nothing has sprouted yet into actuality. We don't see any green, any brown, any red in the seed. You've got to hide the seed. You've got to put the seed in the ground, and then when the seed is in the ground, from there, it'll all sprout out. In other words, kol zman, the shoresh of the green, of the grass, of the leaves, the shoresh of the fruit is still in the seed, it cannot bring out its qualities into actuality. It cannot bring out its pratiyot, its unique qualities, into actuality, because it's all still included in the Avos. It's all still included in the Zera. When you plant it in the ground, eventually it will all sprout out into directions. You'll have a branch branching out, you'll have the bark branching out, you'll have the leaves, and you'll have the fruits. Eventually everything, when it sprouts out of the Shoresh, then it splits up, and then each one goes in its direction, then it can bring out its own unique pratiyut, its own private qualities into actuality. But when they're still in the Zerah, in the Bechina of the Av, is then nothing can be brought out. No private qualities, no unique qualities of anything can be brought out into actuality, El Hagilu. Let's now apply this information to Yaakov and the Shvatim. The Avos HaKadoshim are Be'ikar in Eretz Yisrael for that reason. Avram is Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, Leave Chutz La'aretz, El La'aretz, you should go to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was most of his life in Eretz Yisrael, only the last 17 years of his life. Because Avos is that's the Bechina of Zera, that's the Bechina where everything is still, Be'his Achtus, everything is still in its Shoyresh. And that's the Bechina of Eretz Yisrael, where everything is Be'is Achtus. So that's why the Avos represent life in Eretz Yisrael, where everything is Be'is Achtus. But when the Shvatim were living with Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, is none of the Shvatim could bring out his own unique pratisika qualities, because they were all still included in Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael. And we know, we discussed in Parshas Vayigash the Maral that says that there were 12 Shvatim plus Yaakov, that's Gematria Echad. When they're together with Yaakov, they're all echad. We don't see pratim. We don't see unique private qualities that each shevet had. Because Yud Beis, we know that Yud Beis corresponds to Proti Sikha Koichas, like the 12 months of the year, where each month has a different zodiac. Each number of the 12 has its own uniqueness. But when they were living with Yaakov, he was the 13th, they were Echad. And therefore they were in the Zera Ha'av. And therefore nobody could bring out their qualities. None of the Shvatim. The first time they began bringing out their own unique qualities was when they went, when they left their father and they went down to Mitzrayim. As we quoted Rashi, who says that when all the brothers went down to Mitzrayim in Parshas Mikates, they all entered Mitzrayim through 10 different gates. In other words, now they are beginning to be protim because they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, the Mokum of Achdus. They're leaving their father, who's the Koyach of Echod. And there, once you leave that, is then each one can branch out in his own direction. Each one can bring out his own unique qualities, El HaPol. That's why they went down into through 10 different gates. And that's why Dafka, they went down to Mitzrayim. And that's why Dafka, the first Golus, is Dafka called Mitzrayim. Because we know Mitzrayim means a border. And we know in Ezekiel is what's called Dina Debar Metra, which means that everyone has his border. Everybody is now a prat. Everybody has his own grounds. Everybody is on home grounds, and nobody mingles. Nobody's together. Mitzrayim is the lashon of Metzar. So when the brothers went down to Mitzrayim, they went down as separate with the din of the bar Metra. I have my avoider. Don't interfere with my avoider. But they could only begin doing that. They could only begin bringing out these unique qualities when they left Yaakov and when they left Mitzrayim. But that was only a remez, that was only symbolizing what was to take place later. Because they were only going down to Mitzrayim for a short while, only to return, to get back to Eretz Yisrael. The first time, and the last time, Yaakov Avinu calls his children and brings out their unique qualities as Pratim, is in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. And Yaakov Avinu knows he's about to depart. And therefore, when he departs, they're not 13 anymore. He's the 13th. And when the 13th has died, when the 13th has gone, they're down to 12. And then each one, it's time for each one now to bring out his own unique qualities. And therefore he calls them in, and he talks to each of them separately, and he says, you have this quality, you have that quality, you have this quality. I am preparing you, says Yaakov Avinu, I'm preparing you for Golus. Because the Parshas Vayechi, as we discussed yesterday, is Nistamu Inayim B'Golus. They already began this feeling the Golus. When you're in Golus, Golus, we said earlier, is Pizur. Golus, everybody's scattered and dispersed. When everybody's scattered and dispersed, then everybody becomes a prat. And when everybody becomes a prat, then everybody can begin bringing out his unique qualities. And therefore, if we have to explain Parshas Vayechi in other words, we'll say that Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu is now planting the seed in the ground, preparing it to sprout and to burst and to disperse in all different directions. In the same way as the seed, when you put it into the ground, you're preparing the green leaves and the brown branches and the red apples to come out. Yaakov is putting all the Yud Beis Shiftikah into the ground, hiding them in order that in the next Sefer Shmois, they can begin sprouting and they can begin dispersing and scattering and bringing out their own uniqueness, their own protim. Each one has his own din of the bar metzra, each one has his own boundaries, and nobody can interfere with his avoider. And that's, by the way, why Parshas Vayechi is a Parsha Stuma. Just like when you take a seed, you have to hide the seed in the ground and then it sprouts. Parshas Vayechi is a hidden Parsha, it's Stuma. Yaakov Avinu is hiding, in order to hiding his children in this parasha, in order to prepare them to sprout out. But here, that's the hachana. That's the siyum, that's the end of Sefer Bereishis. So therefore, Sefer Bereishis, on one hand, the brothers were with their father, but they couldn't bring out the koyach that each one had to offer. Their own unique qualities, that had to wait till they went down to Mitzrayim, that had to wait till the Golus of Mitzrayim. And throughout the Golus, we know that Klal Yisrael were working through these 12 names of the Shvatim. They were working through these 12 avoidas that each Shevet represented, until they were Zoicha And when they left Mitzrayim, we know that they went through the Yam Suf. How many splits did the Yam Suf split? 12. As the Medrash Tanchuma brings down in the Pirush, in the commentary, what we say in Davening every Shabbos morning, it's a pasuk to Tehillim, L'goyze Yam Suf L'gzorim, the Yam Suf was cut into 12, because in Mitzrayim they worked through these 12 protistic avoiders, and they succeeded in bringing out the qualities, maximizing the qualities of each and every shevet, of each and every different avoider that there is in Klal Yisrael. Reuven has his avoider, Shimon has his avoider, Levi has his avoider, and they worked through these avoiders until they all brought out the shlemus of pratim, of unique qualities that they left Mitzrayim with, and therefore they were worthy that each shevet could go through a different part of the Yam Suf. That's the transition, the transfer from Sefer Bereishis to Sefer Shmos. Leaving our voice, leaving Eretz Yisrael, and going down into Golos, where the life of the Bonim begin, where the Bonim begin an independent life, bringing out each one's Shlemus. And therefore, with that, we can understand why Sefer Shmos is called Shemos, names. Because what does names in Yahadot, in Judaism, symbolize? Names symbolizes the Koyach HaNeshama, as you all know. Why is it so important to call a child after a tzaddik? Because that has a direct influence on his neshama. That's why you mustn't call a child after a Rasha, Chas V'Shalom. Because that again affects his neshama. A name of a person brings out his Koyach Prati. Why do we need names? Because your name is this and your name is that. So if I call one of you, you know I'm talking to you and I'm not talking to somebody else. A name is the prat of the person. The label, yeah. But that's the whole Indian of Shemois. So Sefer Shemois is the Sefer of names. The Sefer where everybody's looked at it with his individual unique qualities that he has, that nobody else has. That's very befitting to call this name Shemos. And Dafka when they're going down to Mitzrayim. Dafka into Golos, where they're dispersed, and each one can concentrate on his own individual koichos. And Dafka called Mitzrayim, which is Bar Metzra, where I can concentrate on my own, and nobody can interfere with my avoida. So that explains us why the Shvatim are mentioned again at the beginning of Shmos. We ask, why mention Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda? Because it's these avoiders that Klal Yisrael have now to concentrate on when they're down in Mitzrayim. And therefore the first pasuk says, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Eis Yaakov, Ish obey Seipo. Ish is a Yochid. They're coming down as Bonim. And therefore they're coming down as Yechidim. Here in Eretz Mitzrayim, they're all going to sprout. No, b'nei Yisrael, Poru, Vayishutsu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu, Bim'oid, Mo'oid, Vatimoli Horetz Ha'isom. Because in Bereishis, they were all still in the Zera. They're all still in one Zera. They were still in one seed. When you put one seed into the ground, then it sprouts. Klal Yisrael in Sefer Shmos are sprouting out of the ground, out of Parshas Vayechi, which we said earlier means in the ground. They sprout out of the ground, and that's the Vayishutzu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu, B'moid Moid Latimole Haoretz Oisom. With that, we can also understand why Klal Yisrael are compared to stars in Rashi over here. And the Shvatim are compared to stars, because just like stars, we say, radiate at night. The Iker beauty, the Iker radiance of the stars are at night. And night corresponds to Golos. And we know that stars, each star is a different light. Each star, as this Rashi says, L'chulam b'shein yikro. Every star has a name. Every star has a mispar. Because every star is unique. But the uniqueness of the stars only comes out at night. The Klal Yisrael are compared to stars because their individual uniqueness only comes out at night when they go down into Golos. Because when they're in Eretz Yisrael, before they've done the Birur of Golos, later we'll talk about that. Obviously, the Tachlis is not to remain Protim in Golos. Everybody should bring out his own individual Shlemus and then go back into Eretz Yisrael with that. That we're still going to discuss. But we're talking about they never had yet an opportunity to bring it out because they hadn't yet been in Golos. They were born in Eretz Yisrael and they lived their lives with Yaakov, their father. Now, when they're coming down into Golos, they have this unique opportunity to become stars and to shine and to radiate Dafka at night. That's Sefer Shmos. And this is all merumas in the pasuk that we quoted, I think, yesterday, The Gemara in Sanhedrin that quotes the pasuk "Mamachashakim Eshivani," that's Talmud Bavli. And we know that what was the difference between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi? Talmud Bavli is full of machloikas. And the Gemara says there in Sanhedrin that Talmud Bavli didn't really have an achdus between them. We know that in Eretz Yisrael they were noichin zelo zeba alocha. They all listened to each other. They all excelled in what's called midas toivos. And in Talmud Bavli, we know that Talmud Bavli is full of machloikas. And we find in Talmud Bavli, I'm sure you've learned all the Gemaras, that you know they used to talk very sharp to each other. They used to be mevatel each other, and they cursed each other sometimes. They were very sharp. There was seemingly a certain lack of achdus in Talmud Bavli, but nevertheless, which is the Talmud that everybody learns, Dafke Bavli. Because it wasn't Chas V'Shalom a sinner. It wasn't Chas V'Shalom a jealousy there in Machlekes. But in Talmud Bavli, in Golas, each one felt his own individual uniqueness. Each one felt that he's in Olam Mole. And the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, Lefichoch Nivra Adam Yechidi. Man was created Yechidi. Lefichoch Chayiv Adam Loima Bishvili. Nivra Egod, Nivra Ha'ilam. A person is mechoyev to say that he's unique. But Machashakim Eshivani in Bavli, in Babel, each one felt his uniqueness. And that's why there was so much machloikas. Because each one really felt that he was right. Each one really felt that his svara was the svara, because he felt himself unique. Because in Golas we are stars radiating in the darkness. The light of Eretz Yisrael doesn't bring out the radiance of each separate star. And therefore in Eretz Yisrael, they were noichin zeh lazeh. But they died. And that tremendous midas, they would listen to each other. But that didn't bring out the shleimus. And therefore that's why the Talmud Bavli, so to speak, the Talmud that we learn today more than Talmud, but Yerushalmi, with all the machloikas, because the machloikas just brought out the stars, just brought out the radiance, the shleimus, the uniqueness of each and every one of them. And that goes into the whole Indian of Rabbi Akiva, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, Shleinog, who covered Zebazeh, and we know Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, V'ahavta, Reacha Kamoicha Zeh, Klal Gadol B'toira. So why was it that Dafke Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim were the ones who died, Shleinog, who covered Zebazeh? But the answer is, the Baba Chrebi has a sikh on it. He explains that their achdus was so great, and each one was so great on his own, that each one the whole time was trying to be mashpia, that the other one should follow his derech avoda. And that was the Shalonog who covered Zehbazeh. Because they loved each other so much that each one wanted to force his influence over the other one. It doesn't come from a sinas chenem chas v'shalom. It comes from an unbelievable feeling, a unique feeling. Rabbi Akiva lived in the times of the hardships with the Romans, time of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, that's why his Talmidim they felt so unique amongst themselves, they felt their uniqueness, that they wanted to forcibly influence themselves onto somebody else. Oh. That's the chilak between Sefer Bereishis and Shmois. That is the Hakdoma to Sefer Shmois, Dafke Mitzrayim, Dafke Shemois. And that's why, like you said, now we're going to mention that one of the reasons the Schusim that they left Mitzrayim is Shleishinu es Shmom. Shleishinu es Shmom means that it never left them, their uniqueness that each and every one of them had never left them. They always remembered their names. They always remembered that every name corresponds to a different Kshoirish and a Shoma that they are able in Golas to bring out into actuality, to bring out to their shleimus. And therefore Dafka and Golas, they treasured their names, because their names was their uniqueness, their names was their star, their radiant star. And therefore that's why Shleishinu and Shemom, and that was the schuz that they went out of Golas later, as we'll soon see later when we get to getting out of Golas. Oh, having said that, we've seen the koyach between a klal and a prat. Sefer Shmois is, as we said, the Prat. And it's very interesting, because we know that the Rogachova, right, the Gaon, the Tzofnas Paneach, has his famous Chakira in many different places. What does a Tzibur mean? When we talk about a Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, what does a Tzibur mean? And this is a halachic, has many, many halachic implications to this. What does a Tzibur mean? Is a Tzibur made up when you mevatel the Prat? And there's no more pratim, the pratim have become a klal? Or does it tzibur mean, no, they still are pratim, but nevertheless, the pratim are still ba'achtus together, and they come, each and every one of them appreciate themselves, each member appreciates the uniqueness that the other one has, and that's how they form together and make into a klal. His lashon is im yesh pratim betzibur. Or is toya tzibur who a klal abo dafke mitoich bitl a prat el a klal? Is the tzibur made from breaking the prat? Is the klal made from breaking the prat? Or does the klal include the prat? The prat in continues being an existing entity within the klal. We can use this chakira to explain the achdus between the Shvatim and Sefer Bereishis and the Sefer Shmos. In Bereishis, they weren't Pratim yet. The achdus between the brothers and Bereishis when they're with their father, that came through Bitla Prat. There wasn't a Prat yet. They didn't feel themselves as Pratim. They hadn't yet brought out their Pratim. Mashein Kein, any of the achdus that was to take place later in Sefer Shmos is an achdus that was to take place when each one has become a Prat. He remains a Prat. He knows his avoida, he knows his uniqueness. B'shvili nivra ha'olam. But nevertheless, that doesn't disturb them to be be'achdus. They can still make a klal out of that. And therefore, it's very profound that we know in Psachim there's a machlokes whether the korban Pesach is a korban tzibur or is it a korban yochid. Because we know that a korban Pesach had elements of a korban tzibur and a korban yochid. Now the pasuk says in Pashas Boy, Dabru al kol hadas bnei Yisrael ba'asa l'chodesh hazeh ve'yikchu lachem ish, that's loshen yochid, se'el bayis v'mimat ha'bayis, and a bayis is mashma a klal, and then it says ish l'fi achloi, and be'emes it's a beferish, it's a mishnah mefureshes, then mishnah, one mishnah in Yuma that considers korban Pesach as a korban yochid. In Psochim is a machloikas, some say it's a Pesach is a korban tzibur. So we know that korban Pesach has elements both of a yochid and both of a tzibur. What's the reason why? What's the oimika inyan? Why dafka the Pesach has both? The answer is because Yitzias Mitzrayim, korban Pesach introduces Yitzias Mitzrayim. And when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they were coming out as a Bnei Yisrael. They became an Am when they left Mitzrayim. But nevertheless, the fact that they became an Am didn't diminish the prat that each and every one of them worked through while he was in Mitzrayim. And therefore, dafka the korban Pesach, which heralds the leaving Mitzrayim, was both made up of Koychas HaPratim and Koychas HaKlalim. Now for Korban Pesach has both elements of a Korban Tzibur and a Korban Yochid. So that's Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Now, if we said earlier that the Tachlis, even after becoming Pratim, the Tachlis is later anyways to become an Achdus, even if the Achdus that becomes later doesn't kill the earlier Prat, who is the one who has the koyach to be ma'achid Klal Yisrael even though they are all Pratim? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to find someone who's not a Prat b'chlal. Somebody whose whole Metzias is a Klal, he can take under his wings all the koyachas are Pratim and can make them into a Klal. If he is also a Prat, so then he can't, and then he's no better than anybody else. Then he can't take all the pratim and make them into a klal. You have to have somebody who's mufshat, somebody who's completely oblivious to the whole idea of a prat, somebody who's kuloi klal, somebody who's not defined by any specific quality. It's all koyach klal, and he can swallow up all the pratim into him, and he can take them out of Mitzrayim. And that was the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the pasuk says, "Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach is bas Levi." Anonymous. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a son of an Ish and an Isha. He's not defined. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even really have a name that a Jew gave him, Kilu. The name that stuck with him is the name that the Isha, that the Bas Parah gave him. Why? Because a name brings out a Koyach HaProti. A name brings out a radiant star, a uniqueness. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Koyach is a Koyach HaKlal. And therefore that's why the name that stuck with him is the name of the Bas Parah. And why was he called Moshe? Kimin Hamayim Mishisihu. We know that Mayim, the Maral, it's the Klal of the Maral mentions often, that the Mayim is the Koyach HaKlal. Mayim is something that's not a Koyach HaProti, which means Mayim is colorless. Mayim doesn't have a color. Mayim is transparent. Doesn't have a color, B'chlal. Mayim is, what's the difference between a liquid and a solid? A solid you can chop up. Water you can't cut up. Mayim always remains a koyach haklal. Even if you make a river, we know that kol hanacholim holchim el hayam, all rivers somehow originate from the yam and go back to the yam. A yam is a koyach haklal. Nothing becomes a prat out of yam. Even a nachal, a river that leaves the yam, goes back to the yam. A yam is a koyach haklal. It's Moshe Rabbeinu was taken from the yam, kimin amayim was taken from the mayim. Because the mayim is the koyach haklal. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the koyach haklal. And therefore that's why Moshe Rabbeinu can take all Klal Yisrael and bring an achdus out of through all the pratim. He can retain, each and every member of Klal Yisrael can retain his koyach haprat, but still nevertheless be swallowed up in the koyach haklal. That's the koyach, that's unbelievable koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's Yodua, it's brought down, the Tanya brings it down, it's brought down in the Sforim, that every single Jew has a nitzitz and a shama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a chelik in every Jew of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a prat, and therefore every prat could be part of him, because he wasn't a prat on his own. Furthermore, we know that the Gemara in Tanis says, in Daftes, Shegimel Matanas Toivas Nitnu Al Yidei Moshe, Aaron and Miriam. Moshe, Aaron and Miriam were the cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowing us with three Matanas. The Be'er, the Anon, and the Mon. The Mon was Bezchus Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because, could you define the Mon? Did the Mon have one protistika specific taste? Did it look like any specific food? No. Like the Medrash Rabba says, Kol Madane Oilom Toinim B'mon. In the Mon you could taste absolutely everything. Kol Mishoye Misaved Basa, Hayatoymo, you could taste the Basa. Kol Mishoye Misaved Doga, fish, Hayatoymo, you tasted the fish. Mishoye Misaved Tarnagol, we taste Tarnagol. Which means that the Mon had all the protistika tamim in it, but in itself didn't taste of anything. It all depends what you wanted it to taste of. Who does that remind you of? Whose koyach does that remind you of? That reminds us of the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was. The koyach haklal, where he can contain all the pratim, even though he himself is not a prat. The mon could contain all the tamim, all the tastes, even though it itself didn't have a specific, unique taste, bichlal. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was zoicha to be the manig in Yisrael. And that's why, as we quoted before in the Sefer Tanya, in Perek Mem Beis, kol nefesh v'nefesh mebeis Yisrael, yeshma bevchinas Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the koyach haklal that contained within him every prat. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded after taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, bringing them to Har Sinai, Vayichan Shom Yisrael keneged ahar keish echad belev echad. He could take so many pratim who remain as pratim and bring them to such an unbelievable achdus where they all felt keish echad belev echad. So that is the summary of the shir today. That answers all the kashas that we asked before. Why Shmois is called Shmois, why we mentioned Reuben, Shimon, Levi, why we compare to stars, Dafka the stars at night, Klal Yisrael in Golus, why they shine Dafka at night, Dafka in Golus, why it says Ish Levi, Bas Levi, all anonymous, because Moshe Rabbeinu is a Koyach HaKlal. So Sefer Bereishis was the type of, we were the type of Klal before We had before we succeeded in bringing out our Proteus. And therefore it was a Klal which hadn't seen the qualities of the Proteus. Sefer Shmois is when we all brought out our Koyach HaProteus. That's the Shemois. But nevertheless, later on in Sefer Shmois, the Tachlis is obviously that Klal Yisrael should bring all these qualities together, retain these qualities, but nevertheless show that with each one feeling his qualities, we can still be Misachet, and we can reach such an Achdus through Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad. And that's through the Koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. What we still haven't discussed this, and that we'll discuss tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. We'll move on hopefully tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, with the next year, but we'll discuss the koyach of Yosef Atzadik. Because meanwhile, today we just discussed the koyach of Avos and the koyach of Bonim. We didn't discuss Yosef, because what Yosef we're going to see has a quality both of Av and both of Ben, but I don't want to confuse you. So if we have the Avos and Bonim, Bereishis and Shemois clear today, tomorrow we'll just be able to slot Yosef in between them, and then we'll be able to move on to the next Mahalach in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. So let's turn back to Yosef, and let's see how Yosef Atzadik was an in-between, was a gesher between the klolistik koyach of Avos and protistik koyach of Bonim. Which means that Avadai Yosef Atzadik has his own avoida proti as well. As we discussed in earlier shiurim, the avoida of Sumerah, the avoida of conquering the Yetzirah, etc., etc. But on the other hand, we know that Yaakov Avinu gave over his klolis to Bekoyach to Yosef. Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, Shayazivikunim shel Yosef doim eloi, and the Medrash Rabbah, Pei Dalet Oizvov, brings a long list of things that Yosef Tzadik was similar to Yaakov. And Meila, therefore, it's in the Starber that Yosef had that Koyach HaMa'achid that Yaakov had as well, and Yaakov had given it over to Yosef. So L'chaira, Yosef then had two sort of opposite tuchnot, two opposite qualities. On one hand, he was like another of the brothers with Avoida Protis, and on the other hand, he had this Avoida Klolis of Avos that his father had. And that's why, Bemis, we find that in the beginning, we count the Yud Beis Shvatim, and Yosef is one of the Yud Beis. But later on in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu took out Yosef from the minion of Yud Beis Shvatim, and instead, he counted Menashe v'Ephraim. So in the beginning, he was one of the Shvatim, one of the Yud Beis. But later on, it was Nisgala that Yosef Tzadik also had this quality of an Avos, and therefore he was taken out of the Yud Beis Shiftei Kohar, and his children became the Bonim, sort of on par with the rest of the brothers. And that also explains us why Yosef was Zoicha to Bechoira. The Bechoira was taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef. Because we find by the Bechoira also has these two qualities. On one hand, the Bechoira is a son like all the other sons. But Mitzad Sheni, the Bechor has a unique quality that he's like a Sibba and a Shoirish for all those brothers that come after him. Like Reb Tzadik says, Malas HaBechor, the boy Nichlal Kol Hanilodim Achrov. The Lashon of Harali is that a Bechor is Rashis HaMetzias. And therefore, a Bechor takes Pishnaim, he takes one Chelik, Mitzad Bonim, Mitzad being one of the brothers, and he takes an additional Chelik because he's like a Goyrim to the brothers. So therefore, because Yosef was Be'emes, the one who carries these two qualities of having a Tzad Avhus and a Tzad Bonim, having a Tzad Klal and a Tzad Prat, is therefore he deserved to get the Bechoira, which is in fact these two, the Pishnaim, which is connected each of these two qualities. But this quality that Yosef Tzadik had was unknown to the brothers until Parshas Vayechi, or we could possibly say until Parshas Vayigash, where all the brothers came in, as we discussed yesterday, all the brothers came into Mitzrayim through 10 different gates, but eventually they were Nisachet and they were Niskal together with Yosef. Eventually when he revealed himself and said Ani Yosef, that brought about the Hiskalus of the brothers again, and then it was Nisgala that really Yosef also has this Koyach HaKlal. And therefore we find Yosef being sensitive to the Achdus of the brothers much earlier on, that he reported this to his father that they were being mezalzel bebishn bepnei shvachas, because Yosef is sensitive to the Indian of klolus, this achdus of his brothers, because he has this koyach of klolus, and that's why he was sort of being mechanech his brothers, because he felt a shtikl avus, a bit of avus of the brothers. But the brothers resented to this, because the brothers held that he already has the koyach prat, he's like any of the other brothers, and therefore he has no right to stand on them and to tell them what to do. And with this we can understand Ba'if and Nifla, the two Chalomis that Yosef Tzadik had. Because it's possible that the two dreams that Yosef had, each dream corresponds to one of the two qualities, and by Yosef having both dreams, he was showing his brothers indeed that he has both qualities. Besides being a prat like a ben, like any of the other brothers, he also had this Koyach HaAvos. And therefore let's just prove this from the two dreams by beginning with a few Klolistik HaOros on the dreams that Yosef Tzadik had. First of all, Bechlal, why did Yosef have to have two dreams? If the tachlis of both dreams were that the brothers bow down to Yosef, so why do they have to have two dreams? And the second dream is just a repetition to the first dream. In the first dream, Yosef, Yaakov Avinu is Bechlal not included. Mashenkin, in the second dream, the Shemesh Yireach, V'achadasa Kechovim, the Shemesh corresponds to Yaakov. Why was Yaakov included in the second dream of Yosef and not in the first? In the first dream, the dream begins that the brothers were all busy in their avoda. V'hine anachnu ma'almim alumim, like the Lashon HaMedrash, atem koinsim peirois v'ani koines peirois. Each one of them was getting along their avoda, and only after this prat was the hishtachavo. Mashenke, in the second dream, the whole content of the second dream from beginning to end was just that there are the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to Yosef. Why does the first dream begin with a content of anachnu ma'almim alumim, and the second dream goes straight to the point that they bow down to Yosef? In the first dream, they didn't in fact bow to Yosef, but they bowed to Yosef's alumasi, but tishtachavenu alumasi. And the second dream, they bow to Yosef himself. The first dream doesn't mention a number. Just says, Anachnu Ma'almim Alumim. The second dream, there's a number already, Achadasa Kechovim. What's the pshat? But according to what we're saying, it's possible to say that each dream was corresponding to another of Yosef's unique qualities. The first dream corresponds to Yosef's avoida as a prat, corresponds to Yosef as a bechina of Ben, just like all the other brothers. And therefore, that's why the pasuk begins that they were all busy with their own avoida. They were all malmim alumim, and each person, each one of them has his aluma, and Yosef also has his aluma. And then suddenly, which means that Yosef proved that he also has the koyach ha-protim. In other words, the brothers suspected Yosef. When Yosef got on top of them and he made him show that he had a koyach ha-klal, the brothers suspected that not only doesn't Yosef Atari have a koyach ha-klal because he's not a father, but he had obviously ignored his koyach ha-prat. He gave up his avoida pratis in order to grab onto this avoida klalis of the fathers. And therefore Yosef's two dreams were beemus to prove both things. Number one, that indeed I still focus on my koyach ha-prat. I know my koyach ha-prat. And that's a pshat. I'm firm still in my avoida pratis. I know what's expected of me in my avoida pratis. I wasn't mazniach. I didn't ignore my avoida pratis to grab onto an avoida klalis. And that inyan of them all bowing down to his alum, all the alumas bowing to his alumas, was the haidah that they agree that Yosef HaTzadik got on with his avoida pratis. And therefore that's why Yaakov Avinu is not included in this dream, because this dream has nothing really to do with Yaakov. It hasn't really to do with the Koyach HaKlal, the Koyach HaAv. It only has to do with Yosef amongst his brothers, the Koyach HaPrat. And therefore there's also no number like in the second dream, because over here the Sacha Kol, the number is not Negea, because when we're discussing the avoid the process of each one is a Prat, and the Kolistic number is not Negea. And that's why they didn't bow down to Yosef himself, but they bowed to Yosef's Alumosai, to his Avoida, to show that he wasn't Mezalzel in his Avoida. Avoid the protest. Masha Inkein, the second dream was to bring out the second chuna, the second quality of Yosef, and that is that in addition to his koyach haprat, he also has a koyach haklal, a koyach of his father, a koyach hamaachid. And therefore that's why Yaakov Avinu was also introduced in the second dream, because this dream came to prove that he had this koyach av, and his father is moida, that apart from the other brothers being moida, even his father is moida, that he has this koyach haklal. And therefore that's why there's a sacha kol over here, there's yud aleph kechovim and a shemesh yireach that makes up to 13, which we said 13 is gematria echod. Echod is the koyach haklal and the koyach of achdus echod, and therefore that's why this was to prove that Yosef HaTzadik has this koyach haklal, has this koyach haachdus, has this koyach haavhus, a koyach haav. And therefore Yosef's protistik avoida is not negiah in the second dream, and therefore they're not bowing down to Yosef's alumah, they're not bowing down to something of Yosef's, but they're bowing down to Yosef himself. They're bowing down to the hakorah that Yosef HaTzadik is also shaykh to the mispar echot, to the 13. So maybe that explains be'emes how Yosef HaTzadik had both qualities, and therefore when the brothers met, he first of all he showed them that I need Yosef and I remain the same tzaddik and I didn't ignore my avoid the protest. And in addition to that, you can see how I brought about his achdus of all of you by you entering through 10 gates, about meeting me and being nisachi together when I reveal myself who I am. So over there in Parashat Vayigash, it was nisgal at these two qualities of Yosef, and therefore Yosef HaTzadik was like a gesher between the Av and the Ben. He was a koyach haklal of the Av, and he was also a koyach haprat of the Bonim. So with that we end Shir Aleph, to show you the idea of Sefer Bereishis, which is the Avos, Vayechi, which is the Hachana that Yaakov prepares the Avos, the koyach haklal to the Bonim. Sefer Shmois is the koyach of the Bonim, the koyach of the Shemois, where each and every one of them has to now bring out his qualities, individual quality, the Chiyav of Chayav Adam Loima B'Shvili Nibra Olam, that took place in Sefer Shmois, where the old branched off in their own directions, but nevertheless they were later brought together again through an unbelievable hisachdus to the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu, who can be misachid protim even when they remain protim, but they agree with each other and they come to a level of keish echad b'leiv echad. That's the end of the shir of Mahalach, the first Mahalach on Parshas Shmois and on Sefer Shmois.